Welcome, everyone, to another exciting edition of the Kitty Boss podcast. So, I am Justin, or Cat Lady Justin, and we are here to pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycats for a lifetime of unconditional love. And on that note, we have been doing lots of informative podcasts, lots of short 5-10 minute podcasts once a month. We, of course, talk to Dr. Rachel Geller in our special catching up episodes. And so I encourage you to catch up on all of those things that you've missed, because they really are really good, if I do say so myself. But today is actually a very special episode. It's the first time, and hopefully not the last time, that my very special guests are here, who I would like to introduce you to. They are from the Cat Behavior Alliance, and we are going to find out exactly what they do and exactly how they do it together. So let's welcome Rita and Linda. So here I'm adding Rita, welcome to the Kitty Boss podcast. Thanks. And Linda, yay! Ta-da, welcome to the ta-da. Kitty Boss podcast. So the beautiful, and the most important guest, of course, is the cat. So the lovely and the talented Rita and Linda. You're both lovely and talented.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it sounds like I'm favoritism.
Right.
So I'd like to welcome you, first of all, and thank you for joining us. It's really cool. We do lots of short episodes, 5, 10, 15 minute ones, where it's just me talking about some pertinent issue relating to pussycats. Pertinent pussycats. And it's I've been on a tooth kick lately, talking about lots of things with learning curves, toothbrushes, everything you have to do with teeth. Right. And so that's sort of the journey we've been on for the last, I don't know, week or two, because it's something that's been on my mind. So I'm going in detail in that, diving deep into the teeth. And so today is kind of a little sidebar to that, although we can talk a little bit about teeth, because we scheduled for us to speak. Like I said in the intro, it's the first, but hopefully not the last time you guys come on this podcast. I certainly enjoyed my time on 19 cats and counting. So on that note, could you please tell me where that name of your podcast, 19 Cats and Counting, comes from?
I can answer that. I was interviewed for an online magazine. I can't remember which one it was anymore. And when he wrote the companion article, I had 19 cats at that time. And he called it 19 Cats and Counting. So Linda and I were thinking about starting up a podcast, and I thought that name was great. You know, it's a play on 19 kids and counting. So we ran with it.
That sounds like fun. To be honest with you, I have not heard of 19 Kids and Counting. That one is actually new to me. So interestingly enough, when I saw the name of your podcast, I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I'm one of those people that actually doesn't think it's weird and actually thinks, wow, I wish I had 19 cats. I don't have the capacity or the energy for that. So I admire you for having that many, you know, feline friends. That's pretty awesome. So it just basically comes from the number of cats that you had at the time of this article written. So how many cats do you have now?
16. I've lost a few.
16. Well, yeah. I'm sorry for the loss, but at least you have, you're not down to one or none. So, because my little brother sadly lost his cat a few weeks ago. It was very, very bad for him, because he had lost his other cat not that long ago and went through some other really challenging times, all one after the other. So it's, you know, the when the shit hits the fan, it was hitting in threes. And so when Buddy, the cat, died, it hit him pretty hard. Now, luckily, he's had a lot of support and friends and everything. So a few weeks later, he's recovered. He's got a pair of beautiful new kittens, 4-month-old kittens, who bizarrely enough look just like Buddy and Indy, the cats that he had lost. I don't know how that was karmically possible for the pair to be brother and sister, because they're male and female, to be just like his other cats. So, but they are. They look just like him, and they filled that void. He's in love with them, and you know, that really is the best way to get over some kind of heartbreak like that, is to move on to the next one. But it's really challenging sometimes. Yeah. So, Linda, how many cats do you have?
12.
Wow. Okay.
And a dog.
and a small and dog who's very confused.
And
she doesn't know what she is.
And any husband or children?
I have a husband. I have two kids living with me. My grown daughter, who's 33, is back home, and my son is 17. So I get a little bit of help with the cats.
Okay, because I was going to ask, how does the family, you know, sort of feel about that kind of situation? Because you know, frankly, most people are going to hear 13 cats or 12 cats or even 7 or 8 cats, and they're going to think, "Wow, that's a lot of cats." You know, if we open up the dictionary to, you know, crazy cat lady, you know, we'll see a picture
exactly,
of you two in there.
Exactly,
you know?
exactly.
But that's proud. That's an awesome thing. I'd love that. But I think a lot of people are going to.
Well,
Linda's
exactly.
Son.
Linda's
son brought in number 12. So that's how they feel about it. There you go.
So they're on board. Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
He's terrible. He had a paper route when he was, I don't know, 12. And I would get all these texts on his paper, "Mom, look," and it'd be some kitten on his, and I'd be like, "We can't take in another one," you know? And I'm glad you said that about, because a lot of people think when you get to a certain number that you're hoarding, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Rita collected her cats through working with adoptions and things and finding all these cats in need. I rescued, I had 7, and that was really my intention to be my tops. I wasn't gonna go over 7. And then we lost my son-in-law to COVID, and my daughter had to move back home with her 4 cats. So that made 11. It wasn't intentional, and it wasn't easy integrating them, but we got it.
We learned a lot.
Peacefully coexisting. We learned a lot, yes. Well, peacefully coexisting, and then yes, there was a stray in our yard that my son insisted on bringing in. She is in his room until in about a week she goes to get her combo test and her spay, and then she can come up into Gen Pop. But yeah,
good luck with
no
that.
No more. Yeah.
Remember, I jinxed myself.
I know.
I thought
you
I
did.
Wasn't going to have any more.
Yep.
After my sonny passed, and then Mr. Dexter, I said, unless they show up at my door, and Dexter showed up at my door.
Yeah, well, that's kind of sometimes how it works. I mean, my dad, for example, he had we all grew up with cats, all of us. Never as many as you. We always had 1, 2 max, but he grew up with cats just like I did and all that. So when he moved out on his own, he, you know, wanted a cat. And for a while he had a cat because this cat showed up one day on his porch, and he took care of the cat for a number of years until one day the cat left, presumably to pass on.
They do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do that. And so he was very sad and distraught, and for a while had no cat. It was just taking care of stray cats in the neighborhood, and then they'd go move on too, and then some more. And then now he's got another batch. I think they're kind of strays, but they're kind of his.
Right.
So it's not quite as intimate as the other one, because the other one literally moved in with him and was his cat, whereas this one, this group is kind of still outside most of the time, I think. So he's all right, but he's doing that kind of like taking care of others' cats. I wish he would get his own cat, because I know he really wants to, and there's certain things that are blocking him up here from saying he's ready. I think, you know, he feels part of it. He feels too old, or he doesn't have the time, and all those kind of things. Which
adopt a senior cat.
I was thinking. Yes. We have a terrible time getting seniors adopted, and that's
He could totally adopt a senior cat. He could. There's so many things that he could do, but you know, my dad's a bit hard to reach sometimes.
I get it. Oh, that's parents in general.
So since we can't take in anymore, that's one of the reasons we do what we do, and with our plan to build a sanctuary specifically for senior cats and cats that have issues where they're either not adoptable or people have deemed them to have behavior issues that we know we can solve. Mm-hmm. And then the part two, once we get that built, is to open a cat cafe for the adoptable cats.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool, because in Nottingham, where I live, we have a kitty cafe, which is really, really cool. Kind of annoying, because I wanted to make one, but that's okay. They beat me to it. They've grown to 3 locations now. I think they've got one in Manchester, one in Nottingham, and then another one somewhere. And so it's really cool. And they do that. They They rehome, they help the kids. They're very clean. You walk in there, you have to pay a welfare charge so that they can afford all the vet bills and everything. Nice. And then surprisingly, the food and the tea and the coffee is really good there. It's really, the hygiene is 5-star and everything. So it's really a successful thing. So we have one here. But let's talk a little bit about the Cat Behavior Alliance, because that's a great name. It's a great title, obviously. And I'd like to find out a little bit more about what it is, where you guys started. Like, how did you get the idea? Did you guys grow up together? You know, all that story. Tell me the origins of the Cat Behavior Alliance. How did that start?
Well, Rita has been the quintessential cat lady since she was born, although she couldn't have cats because her dad was allergic. But she's had a passion for cats. Like, you know, she was that kid that was always a cat at Halloween, whatever. And she ditched her nicely paying IT executive job to become a cat sitter and work with cats. And she did that for years and was also working with behavior on the side. And everybody, including her cats, her editors, and me, was saying, we need more attention on the behavior. You know, the cat sitting company was important. We need cat sitters, but there are other companies out there. There weren't a lot of people working with behavior. And, you know, the number of cats that are rehomed for 134,400 cats are surrendered just to U.S. shelters every year just for behavior problems. And these are all things that can be fixed. You know, your cat being on the bed, your cat scratch, whatever, there's a reason for it. It's usually got some anxiety in it, maybe some past trauma, something that's happened. And instead of giving them away, we need to work through it. And we and other certified behaviorists are able to help with that and keep this cat in the home, keep the family intact. And so when COVID hit and the pet sitting business took a painful hit, we said, I think it's time, right? Like, it's time to move over.
So how did you two meet then? Because you mentioned Rita sort of started by leaving the high-paying job. How did Linda come into the picture?
I've known Linda for probably 20-something years. We both worked for Richard Simmons. Linda ran RichardSimmons.com for 17 years. Plus, she was the original infomercial girl. We'll get to that in a second. But as Linda started acquiring kitties, because her daughter volunteered at Friends of Feline Rescue Center. She IM'd me one day and said, I'm not admitting this, but I have 4 cats. I'm like, talk to me when you have 20, because I had 20 at the time. So I started helping her with issues. Richard then laid off his staff because he was going to semi-retire. So I heard Linda was going to be looking for a job. And I was trying to launch a club membership website for Cat Behavior. So I called her and I said, do you want a job? When can you start? And she started January 1st of 2017, and she hasn't looked back since. Since we are now focusing on cat behavior, both Linda and I went to Animal Behavior College and got our official certification. And I decided that we needed to be partners in this business instead of her being my executive director only. She's the COO. I'm the CEO of Cat Behavior Alliance. We are also cat meow manipulators.
Yes, yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it's not just behavior, I think, is the main thing, but we have had people that are pregnant and want to know how to introduce the cat. You know, we talk about scent swapping on the furniture and things. We had a guy call us who just wanted to know how to be the best cat daddy ever. We loved him.
I remember him. He was in Canada, I remember.
Yes, yes. And it was just before Christmas because he had bought his cat an iPad. Its own iPad,
just
so that his cat could play cat games on the iPad. We love him. And so you know, we've had all kinds of things like that. A lot of couples coming together.
I've been
living over here. You've been living over there. We each have a cat or two. We bring them together. Holy hell breaks loose. Call Cat Behavior Alliance. So yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, and we do. We end up becoming marriage counselors, relationship counselors, because it takes a toll on the relationship, just like you and children do.
Yeah, no, I know that very well. I mean, it's especially interesting when one of the partners in a relationship is really more into, let's say, or in love or devoted or dedicated to the cat. Yeah. Than the other. I had issues with that, not now, but in a past relationship many years ago where I was obviously really into the cats And you know, my partner was, you know, liked cats, but it was just like, could you leave the damn things? You know, it's irritated with me for being so into the cats. And I like the cat to sleep in the bed with me. I like them both, ideally. Sometimes they don't, but usually I like them both in there. And so for me, it's almost like it caused a lot of conflict when it was like, you know, the partner didn't like that and all that. So, I mean, I don't have that problem anymore, but it was just, it was a long time ago. It was just, it caused strain in the relationship, and it wasn't so much something that was a behavior problem on the cats. It was more just like, you know, stop being an asshole to the cats. I like them. So what's the big deal? You know, you knew what you were getting into.
Right. We've seen couples where the guy is just like, you know,
yes, it's fun. I love body language. Yeah, she's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, and you're like, we're going to have a problem with this one.
Linda is challenged by that.
I take it as a challenge. Yeah,
she always tried to crack a smile from those people. Usually she's successful. That one you weren't. We actually rehomed that cat for them because that was really their main agenda all along.
He wasn't prey to my charms, unfortunately, but most are. But yeah, I will work my butt off to bring that person in that I can see is, you know, I will really call their name, make jokes, find out what makes them tick. I will do anything I can.
You made that Marine smile, remember?
Yes, I did. Listen, Marine, imagine you've been dropped off in Afghanistan or something, and this is what your cat is feeling right now. So just, yeah, I love
it. He loved his babies, though. He loved his babies.
Yes, he was a good guy. He was a good guy. But it helps when you can personalize an experience, right, to help you understand. People don't understand, often people don't understand what their cats are thinking or feeling. And, you know, people don't understand they've got a cat that's been in three homes and in the rescue center or the shelter four times. And they just don't understand why it's taking a while to warm up or why it's got trust issues. Well, if you did that to me, I'd have trust issues too. You know?
Yeah. It's just, anybody would. I mean, you know, there's a really big famous movie out right now that's like the talk of the town and the biggest movie of the year, if not in the decade. And I loved it. It was a great movie. And the big star of that movie probably has some issues in the marriage department, having been divorced three times. So sure. You know, if you're going to dive into a relationship with that person, you might have some concerns walking in because, you know, it's already been three times and it's like, what's going on there? So yeah, it's just, it's
baggage,
totally,
right?
Yeah. So with the cats, it's going to be the same thing. If you're, you know, the cat's here, it's like, look, I've already gone through this three times. You know, I've been rehomed three times. Hopefully this is the one, but I don't know yet.
When are you going to
never
get
thought
rid of
it
me,
that
right?
way?
When are you going to get rid of me? When are you going to pass
me on? Yeah. How long is this going to last? You know, cat becomes cynical.
Yes, exactly.
Cinecat.
Yeah, everything Cinecat. They do is based out of anxiety and survival of the self, survival of the species. They are not domesticated by any way. You've got a wild animal in your living room. They chose to live with us, unlike dogs that were bred to be our buddies, to be working dogs. Cats, if you notice, their physical shape and size has pretty much remained unchanged over the many, many, many hundreds of years. Linda likes to talk about the Fertile Crescent, where cats first came to be with us, Linda.
Yeah, people live together. That was when they first started communing together. And you know where people are together, there's food, right? We all cook when we're together. And where there's food, there's rodents. And the cats went buffet and hung out. And the people were appreciative of the pest control, so they were kind to the cats. So the cats chose to stay. That is literally the domestication story of cats. It's not that complicated. And that is the secret. Everybody listening, that is the secret to cats. Cats have to choose. Nobody makes a choice. They have no alpha power being over them. They have to make choices, and we have to give them choices.
Really? So I can't wave the magic wand. I can't, like, you know, cast a Harry Potter spell on the cat.
Right.
I wish.
Hypnotize the cat.
Yes.
Mesmerize the cat.
I'm kidding. I am your alpha. Yeah, it doesn't work, sadly.
No, really, the thing to remember about cats is they don't do anything out of spite. They're not peeing on your bed because they're mad at you. Usually, if they're peeing on your bed, it's because they're anxious about something and they want to get close to you. They're trying to claim you because the bed smells like you, right?
Yes.
And they want that's really what that's all about. Mostly, it's once we get a hold of the anxiety, what's causing the anxiety, and we get that, you know, taken care of, the behavior disappears or the cat's ready to learn an alternative behavior. And that's the thing too. You have to give them an alternative to what they're doing that you don't want them to do, like scratch the sofa. You don't want them to scratch the sofa, right? So you have to give them a scratching pad and make it attractive for them. Otherwise, they'll just keep scratching the sofa. Saying no only means that they won't do it while you're around, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's something I keep telling people over and over again. You know, when you punish the cat and spritz it with water or something because it goes on the kitchen counter, all that you're going to achieve is the cat's afraid of you. You're spoiling your relationship because the cat is obviously not going to go on the counter when you're watching because it's afraid of you. Mm-hmm. However, when you're in bed or when you're not there, the cat's going to be on the counter. That's the first thing on its mind. So it just doesn't learn that way. It learns by positive reinforcement and love and nurture and all of that. So so it's true. And to a certain degree, cats train you. Like I know my cats certainly have trained me very well when it's time to eat or time to, you know, take a walk in the garden together because they don't go out alone. So it's just that they have their specific ways of manipulating me, especially Charlotte. She's got this meow that comes out only when she's at the door and really, really, really wants to go out. And it's this meow that comes out and it's like tears, you know, it's like it's this most pathetic thing you've ever seen in your life. Wow. It's like this, like it's, I can't even do it because it's just so special and peculiar. Aww. It's like she's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. And let's go out. And she knows that it works because I can resist Emily's wiles to a certain degree. Like Emily nagging, I can kind of resist that. Although when she gets those, you know, Puss in Boots eyes and starts to scratch on the door and all that, I'm just like, it's really hard to resist. But Charlotte is impossible to resist. She found that exact tone, that exact tonality that just like pierces the heart and just like pops the bubble. And then Justin opens the door and goes outside with
them. Exactly. Yes. Yes, they do. They do train us to some extent,
I think. And I always tell, like, Linda had a problem where she was getting woke up in the middle of the night when her cats wanted to be a pet. And she's like, I know I'm not supposed to do that. And I'm like, no, you can do that. If you're willing to accept the consequences, that's the behavior you want to encourage, then it's not a problem. But if it's a problem for you, then you need to work on
it. Yes, if every morning the cat comes up and you pet them, the cat's going to wake you up every morning. Now, I cannot resist Subra. She's my Velcro kitty. She loves me like no other. She's my little girl, you know? So I compromise. When she wakes me up, I give her about two pets. And then I pat the bed and say, okay, we're on Nene. And so she's learned that after two pets in the pat, I'm done. There's no use continuing to bother me. So I can wake up and it's a compromise. It's a compromise.
It's a good compromise. But what Rita said is interesting because I certainly have made that decision of, you know, living with the consequences on certain things. Like, for example, I decided that wicker baskets, I don't really care about that much. Charlotte loves them. She really, really gets a kick out of shredding those things, much more so than any scratching post I've ever bought, because I've bought them lots of different options. It's the wicker baskets that she just is in ecstasy when she's clawing them to bits. So I just said, look, I don't really like wicker baskets that much. They're fine, but, you know, I have a few, and I guess what I'm going to do is just not really buy anymore because they're now going to be Charlotte's and she's going to use them as her scratching posts, and that's fine. It's not a problem. There's one by my bed that I keep by the bed because, not at the same time, but sometimes one, sometimes the other likes to go and like sleep in there. It's like a little hideout.
Yes.
So it's gotten scratched somewhat, but less than the others because it's still a little cute little thing. But it's right by my bedside, so it's really cool. And then the other thing I've kind of compromised on is furniture, really, because I don't have an expensive sofa. So when you say a cat's scratching the sofa, I'm like, I don't care. I see Charlotte doing it. I'm like, that's cute. Go ahead. I don't care. It's a cheap sofa. It's only I see it. I can put a throw over it if I need to. What is the big deal? Same thing with my dining room set. It's an oak dining room set. It's really nice. I like it, but it's not new. It's not super expensive or high end or anything. It's high quality. And, you know, the cats, both of them really, really like to claw the chairs, especially Emily.
Oh,
and so Emily really gets a kick out of clawing the chairs. So I thought, look, I'm just going to... my ex was all like annoyed with that, but I was like, what's the big deal? It's not like they're expensive chairs or anything. So I was just like, go for it. It's like, you know, for me, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple, but the window seals, that is a problem. So then I tried to entice her away from the seal. So she breaks the seal of the damn window. Oh. And I even had to use a little bit of that orange oil-ish spray on there to make it unattractive for her, because I don't want her to not go to the window, because having a little kitty in the window is great, but I don't want her to break my window seals and damage it. So that's an issue. And certain other things, like when she was tearing the wallpaper down in the corner of the of the window again, I was like, tearing the wallpaper down. I don't like that. Go. I don't mind the wicker baskets and the chairs, but that's annoying. So I made her do that. I made her stop doing that, but not by punishment. And same thing when she was tearing down the curtains. So she had this habit of tearing down the curtains in the front room so she could, I guess, sunbathe or whatever.
Right.
She can get behind the curtains. That's not a problem. It's not obstructing her view. It was just like if she wanted to lie on the floor and sunbathe. So, in fact, I posted a video on I think on TikTok and Instagram Reels thing. I posted a video of me catching her doing that because I walk into the living room one day and like the curtain rod is like diagonal with the curtain flopping down. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then I pan down and there's Charlotte sitting there with her paws looking at like a victim, you know, like, oh, my God. So I was like, I know what happened here. So that's another thing I kind of had to negotiate with her. But there's certain compromises I've made, which is just really for the happiness of the cat because she loves it. So why take that away from her? Because it's not a big deal. It's just a wicker basket. So
yeah, I'll tell you, the seals, get some two-sided sticky tape and put it just over the seals. Yep. And she touches it, she won't like that feeling, and so she'll leave that alone. Again, it's about the cat's choices, right? We have to make them choose to not do this. We can't tell them not to do it. We can't punish them out of it. We have to make them not want to do it. It's all that reverse psychology.
It's like the same with management and in the workplace. You know, you've got the I've heard the term thrown around, mushroom management. You've got to make your manager think it was his idea.
That's what I say. Make
actually,
the cats
say,
like, oh, you don't like it? Oh, it's
kind of like husbands.
Or husbands.
Like husbands. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not just cats.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Linda thought she had her cats trained to stay off the dining room table. And this was before she was certified and really involved in the behavior side. And I told her, ha ha, I bet you don't. Oh, no, I know they don't. Tell the story, Linda.
No, they just, I would just tell them to get down and I would, you know, hit their fannies and they would get down. And so they stopped getting out there. And I swore up and down to her, this was a lot of years ago, my cats never get on the dining room table. So my husband and I left to go somewhere, and cats are so smart. I don't think people realize how much they watch you. They know how to open doors, they can mimic anything you do because they watch you so intently. So they know when I leave the door, I'm going to be gone for at least X amount of time. Well, I'd forgotten something. I don't know, my purse, my wallet, something. So we had to turn around and come back. So I open the door and I come in and Warren's laying on the dining room table and his eyes got huge and it was just, oh crap, the jig is up, man, I am screwed. And at first he kind of slowly slunk, like, you can't see me, and then jumped off and ran away. And I was like, man, I gotta eat my hat and tell Rita she was right. I'm not enjoying this.
That's really funny. I mean, it's just so many. We could tell a thousand stories of things like that. And cats do watch you. And in fact, they learn a lot of their behaviors, a lot of their vocalizations. In fact, oh gosh, if I have it tucked away somewhere, I can send it to you. I read an article, a scientific article in a journal that was saying that, and it was only recent, so it was a recent kind of discovery that they actually pretty much proved that cats are observing you and their vocalizations are actually matched to you. So it's not that because dogs are pretty templates. Dogs are pretty cookie cutter. Whereas cats, just because Charlotte goes "Row," and it means one thing, doesn't mean your cat will say that vocalization. It'll mean the same thing.
Right.
Like people say, oh, they do this when they mate and they do. Well, you know, Charlotte uses that alleged mating call with me all the time. Now, I don't think she's desiring to mate with me. She's spayed for one thing.
Yes.
So it's that the article was saying that the cats have observe you so well and they match their vocalizations to you because they've triggered that behavior in you. Yes. So it's almost like you're Pavlov's dog now, except you're not Pavlov's dog. You're the cat's dog. You know, you're responding to her.
Which is how your cat trained you to let her go outside.
Ooh, this is Emily.
Look at your sweet face. You're such a pretty girl.
Beautiful. Look at those eyes.
Look, I know.
Yeah, this is when she does the puss in boots, that gets me every time.
I can't even imagine. Look at that face.
Well, how can you resist that face? That's my problem. You know, you see that cute little face. And that's really, I read this awesome book called The Tiger in the Living Room.
Lion.
Remember that? The Lion in the Living Room.
Yes.
And it talks all about how cats came to be in our presence. And a lot of it is because if you look at them, they kind of look like babies. Their eyes, their nose, the mouth placement, it's kind of like the placement of a human baby. And when they meow like that, they sound like babies.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you say that. So sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no,
I've heard, because I've heard that before. But the thing with me is, I'm always thinking,
there it is.
Cool. Oh yeah, cool book. The thing with me is though, cats, I coo over, I melt over, and when I hear their meows, it's like music. I love it. The cat's meowing. When Charlotte meows at night or something, I'm like, oh, that's me, Charlotte. I mean, I'm like a giddy little, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And I'm gonna lose like every listener now. Babies, I don't like at all. I don't want to use the word hate, but they really irritate me. The crying, those noises that are supposed to trigger those emotional responses, it triggers strangulation in me. Like I want to strangle or smother the thing. So I'm actually, you know, specifically choosing not to have children for the reason that I don't think I would go through with it, but I would think about smothering the baby with a pillow when it's crying and annoying too much. I would never hit a cat at their naughtiest, like when Emily broke a priceless piece of jade antique puzzle ball from China. She broke it. She knocked it off the counter and broke the thing. That would have been occasion for being really, really angry. My spanking included a caress of her thigh. It was not, it was like a reward for her because I just couldn't be mad at her. Whereas with the baby, I could really see myself slapping the hell out of the thing. So I'm sorry to all the mothers and parents out there. You're going to hate me. You're going to click away and never listen to me again. I don't have that instinct when it comes to human babies. I don't think they're cute. I actually think they're ugly. But when people post pictures of their babies all the time, all over social media, and I really refrain, I really have to hold my thumbs from going ahead and typing up ew or ick, you know, or something like that as a comment. You know, so these ugly things that look like hairless monkeys are not my happy place. But the cat, I would probably die for. I would probably, you know, take a bullet for the cat. So it's just it. So I understand what that author is saying about the cat and the mimicry of the human child, but I'm not 100% sure he's right, because for me, that instinct for the human doesn't work, but the cat works.
Yeah. As the mother of both human and furry children, I can tell you, I have no problem with that. In fact, I wish more people would really look into their souls and decide whether parenting is the thing for them, because I think we'd have a lot less foster children and a lot of other problems if people really realized if they're in it. It's not for everybody, okay? It just isn't. And I'm a baby lover. Oh my gosh, show me a baby. I will steal it from you. I will keep it. But I don't
Good. So I can have a baby because
yes,
you'll take it.
Yes, send it to me.
Well, Linda, you've raised 8 children. So.
But yeah, I've raised a lot of kids in this house. Yeah, 3 biological. The rest were marriages. But
And Richard Simmons is kind of a big child too, isn't he?
Richard Simmons is a big child. Yes, he is. He's a wonderful, but he was a big child. Yes, corralling him was a lot like herding cats. But
that's true. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he's Mr. Energy. But
not focused energy. I didn't get that from him. It was
child.
He could be focused at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin
froze. if we're still live. There we go. What is that noise?
I don't know. What is that?
Can you hear that, Justin?
Justin?
He's blinking, but I can't hear him.
That's an awful noise. I think he's having technical difficulties.
Okay, he said 1 minute. Okay, something with his ears. exciting.
Gotta love technologies. Da, 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 da. Bye, Linda. I only hear a buzz.
Yeah.
It sounds like a test pattern.
We may be ending this live shortly.
Yes, potentially.
Yes.
They decided they had enough of us. They're censoring you because you
can't even. He can't hear.
Ah! Should we end the show for you?
I'm thinking maybe we should. Yeah, I don't know. He's talking. I hope they can hear him.
Yeah. Well, if we disappear, folks, you'll know it's because Justin had to go ahead and end the
show. And if you need cat behavior help, right?
Bye.
CatBehaviorAlliance.com if you need cat behavior help.
He's coming back, probably.
Yes, I'm sure.
Everybody can hear us. Linda, I do want you to tell your story about Mel Gibson, but I want Justin to hear it.
Okay. I'm back in the studio, and yeah! I can hear you now.
Yes. Hey! I was just telling Linda, I said we're going to put a pin in the fact that she was the original infomercial girl. Linda actually made Mel Gibson cry.
Really?
True story.
Tell the story.
I did an infomercial in New Orleans with Richard. It's not the only one, but I had a large part of it, let's say. He kind of walked off stage and just let me vent and explain, and it really touched a lot of people, which I'm really grateful for. So fast forward, it's been playing for a while, and I get a phone call out of nowhere one day. She says her name is Beth Unger Morrison, and she works for Paramount. And I'm like, lady, you got the wrong number. But then she said she got my number from Michael Catalano, who's Richard's agent. So I'm like, okay. So she goes on and she says the producer, director, somebody of this movie that they're making was up late one night and caught my infomercial and it made her cry. And they're in the process of making this movie with Mel Gibson called What Women Want. And in the beginning,
I remember that movie.
You remember that movie? Then you've seen me. Then you've seen me, honey. Because they first, when he's a macho jerk, there's a television scene where he's flipping past all the girly stuff, Martha Stewart, whatever, and get to, you know, basketball, baseball, whatever, men stuff, typical. And then once he becomes sensitive, he flips past the sports kind of stuff and is stopping to watch more feminine, I guess, stuff. And he lands on my infomercial. And so there I am, full screen, telling my story, and he starts to cry. So, yes.
You got paid to make him cry.
I got paid day player rate for doing that. And I would have done it for free, but okay. I think it was $655 or something that we got for it, but yeah.
That infomercial is actually where I very first met Linda
yes.
Woodson. Of course, it was a one-way meeting. Who knew that she would be my BFF one day?
I know. Life is weird. Well, who knows? I'm sorry. I live in Podunk, Defiance, Ohio. I've been in a Paramount Studios picture with Mel Gibson. I've been in infomercials. I've been on the cover of Women's World Magazine with Richard. I've been on the Sally Jesse Raphael show. I mean, yeah, who'd have guessed, right? Who'd have thunk it? But
the people used to stop her in the grocery store. Oh, you're Linda Woodson. You're Linda Woodson.
She was pay my Ohio gas bill. And the lady was looking at me funny when I came in. And I'm thinking, I need to clean up my nose or what? Why are you looking at me like that? Well, then she looked at my bill and she saw that it was Woodson and she said, it is you. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I saw you on the infomercial. You live here? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just the person. I'm going and paying my Ohio gas bill and then I'm going to go home and scrub a toilet, okay? I'm not a star. After that, I never left the house without makeup again. I was like, I could be run into Lowe's to get a plumbing part and somebody's going to be like, you're Richard Simmons' girl. So, yeah. Must represent.
Well, it just shows you the reach that he had the impact that he had on people. Yes. So he had a very positive impact and a very large reach, much more so than many people think. Many people listening today might actually not even know who he is, especially in the UK, because I have a lot of people here because I live in the UK now. And so they might not be aware of who he is. But in the US, at least, he was pretty much an icon of television infomercials selling mostly exercise methods.
Sweating to the oldies.
His big thing was sweating to the oldies, and he was quite a character too. He was he had a very big afro type hair and mega high energy, and he was very campy. And so I don't know what his preference or orientation or whatever it was, but he was very campy and always it was very campy, and so it was, yes, it was high energy, it was, yes, camp. He had a really funny look to him that was not ugly, but it was peculiar. So because, yes, not many people sported big afros like that, at least not many, right, you know, people in the 80s and 90s, you know, maybe, exactly, in the 70s or 60s, yeah, or whatever, but, yeah, not when he was doing it. So it was really, he's an interesting person and quite an attractive force when it comes to hype and media. And so my friend Michael F. Shine wrote a really great book called The Hype Handbook, where he talks about all the techniques of the hype artists, the propagandists, the this, the, you know, and it's really, a lot of people say, oh, it's the dark arts and all that. He says, look, if you know these techniques that are being used, if they're being used for, let's say, evil, for sinister purposes, like, let's say, Joseph Goebbels or whatever, well, at least you're aware of them. And being aware of them, you don't have to fall prey. You can say, oh, I see what you're doing there.
Exactly.
But you can also be empowered to use them yourself, as like someone like Richard Simmons. So, you know, selecting a look, selecting, yes, a sort of a thing that differentiates you, that separates you from the crowd, is one of the key lessons of hype, let's say. So,
yeah,
so it's something that I'm now very aware of, more so than I was before, because, you know, my friend kind of wrote the book on it. It's like a,
yeah,
New York Times bestseller disc.
Yeah, it's
a really great book. So it's not the topic. It's not about cats, but it's all, right, about hype. So it's really about marketing and media and getting yourself famous.
Say the name,
and, you
know, say the name again. And
it's
the author?
The Hype Handbook, and the author is Michael F. Shine. And you have to have the F, because there's another Michael Shine out there. So, so it's Michael F. Shine,
nice,
the Hype Handbook. He even has a company called Micro Fame Media, which does what it says. It helps you get famous or micro famous, right, whether in it, and he specializes in the music industry as well as business consultants, right, and coaches and stuff. But you really, you know, it's an amazing person. I interviewed him in another venue, not a cat thing,
yeah,
but it's really cool. So I'm very aware of that. So
you know, can take that in anything. Okay, so Richard's person, the crying, the hyper, that honestly was him. That's him at home,
yeah,
in his white sweatpants when you're alone with them. That's him out in public.
Yeah.
Now the hair started because that was his hair type, and he did try to straighten it a couple times. He kind of gave up, and there's a whole hair story behind there. There's a whole hair story, but I can send you. I've got a picture of him with straight hair. I'll send it to you. That's ridiculous.
I want to.
Anyway, but the dolphin shorts started in the 80s when dolphin shorts were cool, and then when they weren't cool anymore, people kept saying, "Richard, you need to change your." And he said, "No, you don't take Ronald McDonald's yellow shirt and red shoes off. You don't take, you know, this is who I am to the public."
Now, he would scour eBay looking for them, and fans would send them to him.
Yes,
like,
yes.
These dolphin shorts this size, and they would buy them and send them to him.
Yes.
And then his seamstress, Leslie, would be dazzled. Those are just t-shirts that she cut and put those Swarovski crystals on.
Yes.
And rhinestones.
I have one. No, I have the one from Broadway Sweat. It's in the chest at the end of my bed because I did Broadway Sweat with him.
Oh, that's so cool.
I have
his
tank top from there. Yes. And yeah, she just took, it was shocking to hold it up close because it's just material she literally cut out and did a whip stitch on and put Swarovski crystals
on.
Dyed them different colors. Yeah.
I have to say, if it wasn't for Richard Simmons, the Cat Behavior Alliance would not be here. Because
so there you go. So we have Richard, and in a way, he's a bit like a big cat, isn't he? So
yeah.
And we learned from him.
We did.
His charm was that he really did care, and he wanted to reach out to the most. You know, he said, "I don't want you going to a workout studio where everybody's clad in Lycra and is this big around. I want you to see represented." And he gave that love and that acceptance that made people come forth. And that's one of the things Rita and I are trying to do, especially with our multi-cat families, although that's not the reason. And we both like to get a little bit smaller numbers, but we want people to feel safe. Justin, do you know how many people come to us embarrassed or ashamed to say
I have 12 cats.
Yes.
I have 6 cats.
Yes.
They're scared.
Yes.
There's other behaviorists that will judge them. We won't.
Exactly.
Well, because there's a little, it's not just behaviorist, it's just there's a little bit of a thing, like I said at the beginning, you know, some people might judge and say, now that's the definition of a crazy cat lady, and as everyone can just plainly see on the screen right now, you're anything but crazy. You're not crazy people. You're actually professionals who have a stellar career history before cats. And now you're applying all of your time, talent, and treasure to cats. And so it's not a question. You're not some recluse who never leaves the house and has 20 cats. You're somebody who has 20 cats.
Robes with the rollers and the cup.
Right? Yeah. I might do that, but...
I had a crazy cat lady Halloween costume. Richard always had a workout Halloween workout. You had to come in costume, and it was a robe, and it had cats, and then there was a hat which was a cat on my head. Hilarious.
That is fun. That's good fun. And speaking of peculiar looks, very similar to Richard is another friend of mine. So I don't know Richard, named Gary Spivey. I don't know if you know him. He's a shout out if you're listening. He's probably not listening, but he's probably the world's number one psychic. He's legit psychic.
Okay.
And he's legit psychic. He's legit psychic. He's not the psychic that kind of looks at you and judges your reactions and repeats back to you what you said. I've been on the phone with him enough times where he conjures up things that there is no possible way on the earth that he could have had the information that he had. It's not on the internet. My friends don't know. There's no way. He legit is. This happens so many times. So he's legit psychic, but he's very much like a much plumper version of Richard Simmons. He's got he's got the same giant personality, very campy, and also big hair. Except instead of, I don't actually know what his real hair looks like, because he always wears this like helmet thing of white, like it's like a white afro type thing. But he looks like a giant microphone really wandering around. But he's very, very out there. But as far as talent goes for somebody who is a psychic, this is a genuine human being who has somehow either developed or been gifted with the ability of actually genuinely be psychic, which is actually rare because a lot of psychics are frauds. But this guy is genuinely psychic. His name is Gary Spivey.
I did write it down.
You could always message me and I'll send you his info or website or whatever, and you can check out what he's got to offer. But anyway, he reminds me a little bit of Richard Simmons type of energy.
Has he ever helped you with your cats?
I've not needed it. So he's helped me with other projects and other areas of life. But with the cats, I haven't really needed his assistance. You know, but when we're talking about the energy world, which is obviously not, you know, psychology or it's not in the mainstream science, I have had a therapist, which is called BEST, or Bioenergetic Synchronization Therapy, which was developed by a chiropractor named Dr. Milton Mortar, who's now passed away, but his progeny, Dr. Ted Mortar, they continue the practice, as well as practitioners all over the world. And they have clients that are, you know, members of royal families and, you know, A-list movie stars. So it's something that may not be mainstream, but it's something that people pay millions of dollars for sessions with them. Now, I don't have the means of paying $1 million for that kind of thing, but there is a practitioner who is here in the UK, actually the only one, I think, and she is able to do sessions, but she's also able, so it's for people mainly, but it's also for pets. So there were three or four times where I've needed a pet BEST or a pet bioenergetic synchronization therapy session for Emily and Charlotte from this practitioner. And it's remarkable how it works, because it's honestly like flipping a switch. So I'd take them to the vet, and then I'd bring them home, and it's the non-recognition hissing, but it goes on for like over a week. It was ridiculous.
Dang, that's a lot of money.
And so I got exasperated with thinking of solutions to this. So I asked, do you think we give it a try? So we give it a try. And it was literally like flipping a switch. It's at the end of the session, Emily's back to her chummy self. And then I thought that was really remarkable. Yes. And then there were other times where I needed a session when I was going through a acrimonious separation and I needed help, and it helped me. But bizarrely enough, once I was finished with a session, Emily was problematic. Something, you know, the energy, I don't know, I don't have an explanation for it, but something happened and she was unhappy, and it was causing stress in her. So what we would always do is we would always make sure that we reserve the money and the time so that at the end of my session, there is automatically a 10-minute pet best session for Emily. And that made that completely resolved the problem. Because after the first time I said, could you do that for Emily now? It's not an emergency, but it kind of is. So she'd do it. And it always helped, like it lit, like flipping a switch. It was really cool the way it worked. And it was all done remotely, meaning she didn't come to the house. She did it by, FaceTime audio, not even video. So it's really interesting how that whole part of life works. Because, I mean, we talked a little bit woo-woo because I talked about the psychic and all that. But there really is something there because how in the world is there's no placebo effect. How in the world is it going to be like a placebo with Emily? She's a cat.
Exactly. With your cat.
And I didn't give her a sugar pill.
She heard the conversation and went, oh, I should act better.
I believe that power is out there and some people really have it. It's just a shame that the people pretending to have it give the real people.
They do. But that's true in any industry. You look at the supplements industry, for example, I'll go on a 2-minute soapbox. You look at the supplements industry and you go to Vitamin Shoppe or Holland & Barrett or whatever, 90% of what they sell is worthless because it has ingredients in it that actually are excipients and they make you just pee it all out anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's no point in taking 90% of the stuff that they sell because it's crap. But does that mean that echinacea doesn't work? No, absolutely not. Echinacea will literally cure the common cold. But it not the kind that you get at the store. You have to get, and here's the trick with echinacea, for example. It has to numb your mouth. Echinacea is an anesthetic. If you put it in your mouth and it doesn't go numb, it's too weak. It won't work.
Really?
And so echinacea has to be that concentrated in order to be effective. You're in America, so you have it easy. You can go to the American Botanical Pharmacy online. I think it's herbdoc.com. I can send it to you. And Dr. Schultz sells the absolute best herbal remedies on planet Earth because they're super mega concentrated. And that's why they work. But that's the exact same reason why the other stuff doesn't work, because if it's watered down sugary, it's not going to work. It's got to be it's got to be a tincture, which means it's in alcohol. But not the drunk alcohol, that is just extracting all the alkaloids and everything from the herb. And that's the only way that herbs work. And so, but because there's so much of that garbage out there, people think, oh, herbal medicine is it's a sham. It might work like 2% of the time, but it's not. It's only a sham at these mainstream stores. And vitamins are the same thing. When you get your D or your turmeric or whatever, it's in such a worthless low concentration. Of course, it's not going to do much for you. But when you get a trusted supplier that doesn't put talc in the pill or doesn't put magnesium stearate or other poisons in there, God knows why they put it in there. We know why they put it, because it makes the machines flow better so it doesn't get clogged. But it does the same thing in you. It makes it flow out your tubes and then you don't absorb any of it. So it's worthless. But the thing is you get a high concentration stuff that's made the right way without any, then of course it works. Like, and luckily in the UK, I know a supplier here that does things like that. British supplements, they're called. Now, funny thing is, our version of the FDA, the MHRA, who gives them a hard time? Do they give Boots a hard time when they sell junk that doesn't work? Do they give Holland & Barrett a hard time because they sell 90% of their junk as worthless and ineffective? And they make claims. There are claims made up on. No, they go after this tiny micro family business. I think it's maybe 2 people and 10 people in a warehouse. And they go after them like crazy because they sell turmeric and marine collagen and various things that actually, and ashwagandha, but in concentrations that work and are effective.
Yeah.
And they don't have the legal team to go through, 500,000 pound or dollar trials and this, that, and the other thing. And I think that's a shame. And that gives the vitamin industry, the natural remedies, it gives it all a bad name, because you've got your good guys who get results. And then you have got your mainstream charlatans out there who get no results at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue that we really face when it comes to energy, but every industry is like that. You got your real deals.
look at the cat phonies. Food and all the fillers and things that we find and the supplements and the stuff that's not made so
yeah hard. Cat yeah. food's a great example of that. I mean, in the book that's coming out, the Kitty Boss book that's coming out, ooh, I talk about how to choose the cat food, and I made it simple. I even put a little diagram, you know, make it, you know, feed kitty, don't feed kitty, you know. And it's like, it's very, very, very simple. And 90% of the cat food out there is going to cause illness and disease in your pet. They're going to end up in the vet. And it's unfortunate that that's it. But before you think I'm so harsh and like this health nut, which I am, but I don't believe in being too obsessive about things, because the stress of being obsessive about any kind of diet, like veganism or which is wonderful, or vegetarianism, which is great, or keto, which is awesome, but being super strict about it to the point where it causes you stress and anxiety is counterproductive. It undoes correct. All the benefits of the positive lifestyle correct. Are undone by your stress in imposing that lifestyle on yourself yes. and others. So I don't believe in that. So what I tell people is, if your choice is between giving a home to a cat versus not giving home to a cat, go ahead and give a home to a cat, even if you have to feed it cheap shit.
Yes.
Because a cat loved, adored, and taken care of in your home, who's eating garbage because you can't afford anything, is much better off than a cat as a stray or in a shelter. Well, so, sure.
But look among the price points you can afford, because there's often options that are better than
you
know, there's the lesser of the evils, right? And you know, if we were looking at some calming sprays and some things when we were combining my daughter's household with cats with mine, mm-hmm. and we looked up some of these things. So, you know, and it really doesn't take long to do this. So one of the ingredients in this spray is I don't know what it is. Anyway, enhanced skin absorption, non-reproductive organ system toxicity. We know how tender and fragile our cat's organs are and how thin their skin is. So if this increases the skin absorption and has some organ system toxicity and irritation.
Why is it in there, you know?
So why is it in there? So I'm going to avoid that and go to something else, which most of those are similarly priced. So,
and it's interesting how these, for me, I'll stop going on little tirades here, but it's interesting how some of these companies get away with it. Like, case in point, my partner uses some fabric softener. I don't need it. I honestly, Dr. Bronner's Castile soap, the liquid soap used in the washing machine. You don't need it. Oh, nice. I use the lavender version and it smells good and it actually doesn't need fabric softener, but that's a whole other story. So my partner uses fabric softener. We checked out the ingredients because I'm very sensitive to these things. And I'm like, I think there's a problem with these clothes. They smell like not bad, but it's just overpowering. And we checked the ingredients. And one of the chemicals that's in that fabric softener is like listed in Europe on the European things as like a level 7. And that means it's highly toxic. If it was level 8, it would be actually banned.
Right.
It would be banned because it was so poisonous. But it's not level 8. It's level 7, so it just slips in. But it's highly toxic and poisonous and dangerous. And it's in the fabric softener, touching your skin 24/7 and your sheets and your all over your body, because your sheets, your pillows, everywhere. So it's ridiculous how these things sneak into... ordinary products.
Even makeup. Linda and I were looking up makeup. She knows this website where you can get the, see how good and bad it is. We're looking at makeup and soap and things you wash the dishes with. It's scary to know how many bad, and even with CBD, we get a lot of cat clients asking us about CBD, or they're already on CBD. There's so many out there, it's hard to know. Now, we happen to know somebody who's very reputable. And we trust their CBD. Yeah. But from other places, you're just, you know, close your eyes, pick one off the shelf.
Yeah, you're playing Russian roulette, and your cat's is a much smaller organism. It's not an elephant. It doesn't have an iron stomach. I mean, you know how easy it is to irritate a cat's stomach. I mean, my Charlotte had diarrhea 2 weeks ago, and she didn't eat much. She just had a little bit too much food, and I maybe put a bit of oil in there, and whammo, diarrhea. And it's like, and not fun when it's a long haired cat and you have to then cut fur out of the puss tush, you know? I call it the puss tush.
Here's another one. There was a diazolidinol. It's a antimicrobial preservative. Cancer, allergies, and immunotoxicity. All of our immunological problems are creeping up, like everybody having chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and stuff. Wonder why. Developmental and reingregative toxicity. I don't know what that is, but toxicity.
Praise for the cats.
And we're not talking conspiracy theory here. We're talking stuff that's like listed publicly available information. You know, it's not, oh my God, Linda and Justin are kooky here. It's like, if it's not like olive oil, it's crap. No, we're saying this is publicly available information that's on the labels it's just written in very tiny print. That's hard to read, but it's right there. They're not hiding it. They're just concealing it, but they're not hiding it.
Well, people don't know those long words. I don't know what that is.
But it's, I don't either. Look, I am not a scientist. I'm sure I probably flunked science or at least got a D. I don't do science. But I looked it up. I took that word. I Googled it.
Yeah.
What is or dangers of D-I-A-N blah, blah, blah. And that's what I got. And I screenshotted these to talk to somebody about somebody who's been using them. And I'm not a scientist.
And you know, I'm not a scientist. My dad is, but I'm not a scientist. But I was very good at science.
Oh, not me.
Well, look what's going
on. I was really, really good at it.
I didn't like
helping the kids. Look what's going on with the Seresto flea collars.
Seresto flea collars, yes.
FDA here, they're demanding they be taken off the shelf.
Yes, finally, they're killing
after so many dogs and cats have died from it.
When we had the cat sitting business, one of our sitters went in and it was told, let's say she started Monday, I don't remember. It said, hey, on Wednesday, Fluffy is due for their flea meds. It's on here. We put it on. Thank God she was smart enough. If you are a cat sitter out there, beginning of the visit, she put it on. About 15 minutes later, the cat is foaming at the mouth and seizing. And she had to rush. It had pyrethrum in it, which is in a lot of flea products. And that cat would have been dead if she'd have, I just got chills all over. If she hadn't have done that at the beginning, if she'd have done that at the end, by the time she left, the cat would have gone into seizures and would have been dead by the next time she came, by the time the humans came. That's some serious crap, people, right? And why do you think they wanted to put it back here? Because they can't lick it. But the other
cats can roll.
A lot of my cats, as soon as they get it on, would roll in the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's on their fur, which they groom. It happens. That's, you know,
And we need a solution, obviously, for, you know, fleas and worms and various conditions. We need solutions there. But
crazy cat lady's Fleax, babe.
Oh, I don't have it up here.
Fleax.
You can send
100% non-toxic. You can squirt it in your mouth if you want to, and it works.
Do you know fleas, the two crazy ticks, cat mosquitoes. Ladies?
No.
You don't know the two crazy cat ladies?
Well, okay, no. Introduction time. We're going to introduce you.
Yes.
Probably want to have them on your show.
Yeah.
I probably do. Yeah. So make sure you introduce me and then I can get some of that spray as well.
Yes. They make a ton of products and they do ship to the UK. They make a ton of products that are really safe.
Yeah. So if you can introduce me, they can come on the show. But I also want to buy some of these things because I don't have a current decent remedy for the fleas. So what I do is I don't worry about it. And I still use the pipettes, but I sporadically use them and I get them from the vet. But maybe once a year then hope for the best, but it'd be nice to have a non-toxic solution. So
you can use it on your furniture and it's a lot less expensive.
We did a review on
like less than $20 for a bottle this size. Is Meow Miss, is my Fleax is in another room.
We love Meow Miss too,
this size, and I used it on all the cats twice and still had a little bit left, so that's like 24 applications, guys. Plus I had used it on my couch,
because you just got to keep in mind when you say I used it on all the cats twice, you think, well, that's very fast. You have 12 cats.
Yes
And you can use it on the dog too.
You can use that dog. You can use it. It also works as a mosquito repellent. Yeah, so that's good for cats outside, putting it on. And spray yourself with it. And and all of their products can be ingested. They'll sit. That's Adrienne's thing, to sit on a podcast and go, and show that she can drink it and it won't hurt.
Yeah. Herself. And, you know, and it's a great demonstration, because my friend actually did a similar demonstration once on a show. To make a point. He was on a big big media show. This is going back probably 10, 15 years. And it was talking about this magnesium stearate I talked about in vitamins and vitamins. And the person was saying, no, it's not. Then he finally admitted, well, but there's only such a tiny, tiny amount of it in there. He says, well, look, I'll give you a teaspoonful of, here's a teaspoonful of magnesium stearate. Take it. He's like, are you crazy? It's like, why not? What's wrong? You said it's not that harmful. He's like, no. He's like, what would happen to you if you had a teaspoon of it? Like, I drop dead. So a teaspoonful of that product, you drop dead, but it's in your vitamins. But it's in a micro dose. Yeah. It's in a tiny, tiny dose, so it's okay. Example of that is, then he said, well, look, here's a glass of water. Oh, and by the way, I put one drop, just a tiny amount of my urine in there. Do you still want to drink it? Do you still want to? You see what I mean?
Won't kill you, but yeah, I'm not drinking that.
Yeah, I'm not drinking it. Although that said, I do. I shouldn't say that because I have many friends. Sorry, I have two or three friends. One of them is actually on a urine fast, which means he's actually drinking his urine. And there's a whole universe of people that do that, that believe, that have all kinds of health benefits. Not for me. I'm not saying it's not for me, but I shouldn't say that. So instead of urine, let me say I just put a micro dose of my feces in there. Do you still want to drink it? And of course the answer is no, but it's a similar situation when you say, oh, there's only a tiny amount of this magnesium stearate in it. And actually my feces is probably safer than magnesium stearate because a teaspoonful of my stearate, my crap might make you retch. It might make you throw up, but it's not going to kill you. Teaspoon of the magnesium stearate will kill you.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do we put this stuff?
We need to make a side podcast about all the dangers out there for us.
Warning, don't use these things. I try to remind people of that, but it's true. There's no like compendium of things to avoid. So it'd be really great to do something like that. Yes. So it's been great to meet you from the Cat Behavior Alliance. It's been great to learn how you guys met, the Richard Simmons connection, which is really cool. And of course your sort of, evolution into, you know, from, you know, cat, sitting to actually cat certified cat behavioral therapy for cats, and actually tangentially doing some marriage and couples counseling, because that's always a part of the picture. Cause sometimes your shit's what is the cat's problem, not their shit, but it's 100%. Like, so it's great to see that. And of course the ambition for the future to have these two things, not only the rehoming thing, but also a special place for senior cats is really, really great. So if people want to get in touch with you, find out more or whatever it is, what's the best way? I mean, I know you're on social media. We all follow each other. So Cat Behavior Alliance on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all that. But what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they need you?
Catbehavioralliance.com.
Catbehavioralliance.com, yeah.
To learn about us, you can book a session with us right now. We're running a limited time special. Linda, do you want to talk about our special?
Yeah, let's hear about it.
We found that a lot of people, they weren't sure if we could help, which we haven't found anything so far that we haven't been able to help, or they weren't sure which session they needed, how long they needed, whatever. So we started offering, it was actually the Two Crazy Cat Ladies' idea. We started offering a free 15-minute kind of an intro session, and it's a chance for us to get the information and pick your brain. Okay, what's changed since the start? Has it always been this way? Do we know the cat's past? What's happening? How's it happening? You know, and then we get we're going to need a plan for reintroduction. We're going to need a plan for anxiety. We're going to need a plan, whatever. We tell them if we can help them, which so far has always been a yes. We tell them which plan we think, which session we think is best for them. And then we can go ahead and book it. And Rita and I already have the building blocks for our plan. So we can talk before the session and say, okay, what is it we're going to prescribe? How are we going to, whip this recipe together? Yes.
That's really cool. So
that way. And also you always get the two of us. And I think the fact that people get to meet us before they pay for anything gives them a comfort level with us.
That's also really cool. Yes. So I have it scrolling on the bottom of the screen for people, but for the benefit of people who are listening to this on the audio, it's catbehavioralliance.com, which is of course CatBehavioralliance.com. Cat Behavior Alliance. kittyboss.com, spelled the American way, not the British way.
That no you. I was just going to say, spelled the U.S. way, because you Brits like to put U's in things. And
we do, we do, and we like to call aluminum aluminium and all these kind of other beauties. So,
and yes,
we have clients from all over the world. We just did a couple from Gibraltar. We love them. They're British, the Brits. They call us.
Yes,
we call them the Brits, and they write to us. They call themselves the Brits.
Yes, and they are so cool. Funny. I just love, you know, my favorite thing the Brits say. That's brilliant. We're like, oh, that's great. What sounds better? That's brilliant, or that's great. That's good.
Yeah, the thing is that I at this point I hear it so much that it's like, you know, how is that, you know, cheap supermarket ice cream? Oh, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Really? It's brilliant?
I love it.
It's not
someday
brilliant.
I want to go to visit London.
If once everything's brilliant, then it's like nothing's brilliant anymore.
Exactly.
It's like, man, you're overusing it. But
exactly.
But it's just, but it is an expression that they use commonly here. So catbehavioralliance.com for people to do that, and you're running a special, of course, that they can have a taste of the Cat Behavior Alliance.
Yes.
Another thing that the British say is the abbreviation CBA, which of course doesn't stand for Cat Behavior Alliance, but stands for Can't Be Arsed, which means I can't be bothered. I don't want to do this. I can't be arsed.
I like that. That's my new phrase. Can't be arsed.
Well, because we do refer to ourselves as CBA sometimes.
I know.
Probably laugh.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The Brits might laugh. Oh, it's a CBA. Can't they be arsed? You know, it's like, you know, maybe they don't pick up on it. I don't know. But it's been great to catch up with you. It's been great to see your that you are on purpose. P-U-R-R-P-O-S-E on the purpose of that, and that our purpose is aligned, because of course what I want to do is to show people that they can have a cat, they should have a cat, there's benefits to having a cat, and there's an easy way to do it. So
yes.
It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to build a cat super high in your home and wreck your life upside down and invest $10,000 in building and restructuring your living accommodations.
Check out our social media right now. I just taught everybody how to make a puzzle feeder with a toilet paper tube in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There
and
are
so
things
that's,
you can do.
That's what I try to really get across to people is you can absolutely do the Rolls Royce of things as recommended by some other people, you know, who I've read their books and they're brilliant. You know, they have TV shows and all
brilliant.
That. And so they're much more famous than I am. But the thing is that some of that stuff is complicated and expensive.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is sift, sort and separate all of that information and say, look, let's just tell you what works, omit all the stuff that's unnecessary or arbitrary, and so you can do that stuff if you want to, but you don't have to do that stuff. The
yes.
cat, it's like, how much money are you going to be spending on cat toys? Well, if you're like me, you're probably going to spend a fortune, but that's because I want to and I can. If you can't spend a fortune on cat toys, no problem, because guess what? Of all the cat toys I've ever bought my cats, their number one favorite thing is either the packaging,
the box,
or the little cat dancer toy that Dr. Rachel Geller introduced me to, which is the cheapest thing ever. It's $5. $5 and you never need another cat toy in your life.
We are constantly like,
it's
somebody got really
dollars,
rich off that piece of wire and we're so mad it wasn't us, right? Like
somebody really
came up
with it. We want you on our show.
Yeah,
whoever invented that, come on our shows. We love you. But the thing is that I try to tell people you don't have to spend a fortune. You don't have to turn your life upside down. My mother, who loves to travel and all that, spent years not having a cat because of that. And now she has a cat and she finds I was right. Justin was right. There's a file. It's easy. It's easy to find people to come and look after your cat. I said, unless you're some kind of recluse or antisocial person, you're going to have a friend that won't mind coming over and, you know, doing the litter box and feeding the cat once a day. I have no problems with that. And my mom certainly doesn't have, in Paris, France, doesn't have any problems doing that. But for years, for 10 years, she was without a cat. She always had cats. But now, because she was worried about travel, I said, it's not going to be a problem. Trust me. And so I like to really impress people that, because as you know, as you said to us earlier, over 100,000 cats per year are surrendered or are given up. It's really kind to say surrendered, because I'm a little bit more vicious about that. But like there's over 100,000 cats, and that's just in the USA. Not including UK or Australia or anywhere else in the English speaking world. But that's just in the USA, and that's an incredible number. So if we can show people that there's an easy way to adopt a cat, to have a cat. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a behaviorist. You don't have, or, but if you need one, there's a few I can refer you to, but you don't have to be one. You don't have to be a rehomer. You don't have to be an expert because you don't have to adopt the difficult cat. There's plenty of easy cats to adopt out there. And I want to show people so that more people who want cats think, oh, do you know what? I can have a cat. It's not that complicated. Like, for example, I negotiated with a landlady years ago to get Emily, it was no cats. So I called her up and I said, look, I love cats. I've always had cats. I've been without a cat for 10 years. I'm dying to get a cat. I will give you an extra deposit specifically for the cat, and I will sign a legal contract with you saying that I have absolutely no recourse or say in it. You 100% have discretion and say to me, that cat's done damage, I'm keeping your deposit, and I have no way to challenge. I can't even say, are you sure? No, there's no challenge whatsoever. And she was like, oh, that's not... I said that because I knew it was over the top, but I really wanted the cat, and I was willing to do that. I was perfectly happy to do that. And she said, you know, I really appreciate you asking, because so many people just have a cat anyway, and then, and it's for some reason, whenever I come for the fire inspection, there's always a litter box there, and I'm like, oh no, we're just watching it for the weekend, but every time. So it's like, so thank you for asking. Don't worry about it. You know, it'll be included in the normal deposit if there's any damage. And you know what? When I left that apartment, I think it was 9 years ago now, there was no, she didn't take the deposit. There was no damage, nothing. It was all good. And so I said, you can always find a solution, even if you're living somewhere that says no pets. Sometimes just calling the landlord and negotiating and saying, look, I'll give you an extra deposit. And you just have to save up for it. Give them an extra deposit. Now, if that's too challenging for you, okay. There's a, you know, you might have an issue, but it's just, I'm trying to show more people can embrace cat ownership. Cat.
My landlord in LA said no pets. And I went, oh, I guess I have a cat. And he goes, oh, cats, I don't mind. I just don't want any more dogs.
That is exactly what happened to my daughter. They said no pets. And I said, well, let's just look at it because it's really close to my house. And she's like, but I can't, what am I going to do with my cat? And I said, just calm down a minute. So then I said to the lady, so I know you said no pets. Yeah, no pets. And I said, okay, because my daughter has a cat. And oh, cats are fine. I just don't want a barking dog. It's like, aha, okay. So
just have to ask.
Sometimes you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if you
miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's kind of what exactly. Our mantra. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's what we're all here to remind people of, is you can absolutely have a cat. It's not, or if you're like my dad, you just adopt the strays and you help them out. You know, whatever it is. There's always a way. Yep. Where there's a will, there's a way. When I was a child, that was a program that helped me with a lot of tests and getting through school. So I'll never forget. Where there's a will, there's an A.
Yes.
You remember that one?
Yeah. Ritter was spoken.
Yeah, that was the infomercial, right? So so anyway, it's been great to have you. Is there anything you'd care to say or ask before I end off today's episode?
One more thing is every Wednesday on Facebook, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CatBehaviorAlliance, we do a live Why Does My Cat Wednesday, where we pick a topic. Like, why does my cat bite me when I want to play with him? Or sometimes we don't have an agenda. We just take your questions right there. Just come on, and it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday on our Facebook page. Yes.
Eastern Standard Time is the East Coast of the United States of America, such as New York and all that side of the world. So if you're listening from the UK, it's about 5 hours behind our time here in London or Nottingham, where I am. So,
so it would be midnight your time. Oops.
This one would be challenging.
Well, if you can't attend the live, send questions ahead of time to us, either through support@catbehaviorlines.com. There's an emails button on this website, or you can just go on, you know, and make a comment or post on our Facebook, and we will answer that. And then those lives stay there so you can watch them later. You got an amazing resource. There are so many cat people who have resources who will sit and talk to you about things that aren't going to cost you a dime and give you really good ideas and way to save money. I mean, the flea spray I talked about has saved me hundreds of dollars alone.
I mean, the spray that you talked about, number one, is going to help me a lot when I buy it. But number two, I'm going to have these guests on the show, and yes. I'm going to meet these folks. So, yes. so that's helped me a lot. So thank yes. you for that. So don't forget yes. to yes. connect us, yes. but it's really cool. So thank you very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate you both yes. doing that, making time for us and of course, sharing the wonderful work that the Cat Behavior Alliance yes. does. So this is Justin. This was Rita and Linda. The Cat Lady Justin, we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. That's the Kitty Boss, so we'll see you real soon.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. Bye.